If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, closing out the armor of God. We've been looking at the fact that we're not battling with flesh and blood. We're at war. There is an enemy who's seeking to destroy us. It's a daily battle. If you haven't realized so far that you get up, you're at war. You got so many things seeking to distract you, to lure you away from Christ. We sung just there at the end, more love to Christ. But the enemy is saying to you all the time, more love for this world, more love for yourself. Pulling you and pulling myself away from Christ. Maybe even pulling us towards religious activity as a substitute for Christ. Where we're not fixed our hearts and our affections on Christ. We're at war. And though this last peace is not given a designation of what armor it is, what piece of armor it may be, it nevertheless is vital to the fight, and that's prayer. Without prayer, we cannot win. Without prayer, we will fail. Without prayer, we will be conquered. Prayer is the supply chain to the battle. You have to fight. You're going to run out of ammunition if you don't have a supply chain. You're going to run out of food. And you won't have the resources that you need without a direct line to heaven. And prayer is that line to heaven. It connects you to God Himself. It's where God will give you what you need. I'm out of ammunition, God. I need help. I'm low on food, God. I need some substance. I need a fresh word from you. I'm dry. I'm weary. I'm distracted. The enemy is after me. I've fallen, dear God. I've fallen in sin. I need help. Please come and rescue me. Come, dear God, quickly. I can't wait until tomorrow. I need you now. Prayer is so vital for your Christian life. It's vital for every part of the Christian life. Faith. If you're going to have faith, you need to pray. If you do have faith, you will pray. And not all prayers are equal. You say, well, Jeff, I do pray. Well, let me be honest with you. You're lousy at it. You're lousy at prayer. You don't take it serious. Or at least you don't take it serious enough. And partly because you don't realize the danger you're in, the severity of the situation. That's part of the reason. And it's because prayer is hard. I don't know anything more difficult than prayer. I'd rather help you move than spend 2 hours in prayer. I'd rather dig a ditch. That's easier. Because when you dig a ditch, you can see something happen. Look, when you pray, you have to have faith and you don't necessarily hear anything immediately. You can spend 2 hours in prayer, and then when you leave, you're like, well, was that a waste of time? I could have done this or could have done that. I could have been busy about doing something more productive, and we begin to lose hope. We don't have faith to think that we've been in the presence of God, and that prayer has changed the course of history. We don't believe that God answers prayer and that we get to take a vital role in God working in the universe. We just don't believe it, so we don't pray. The reason we do not have a revival going on in Conway is because we don't pray. And when we do pray, it's those pitiful prayers that we pray. And I'm not saying anything wrong with a prayer like this. In fact, every prayer is sweet and precious. So there is a sense that this is okay. But this doesn't need to be the best that we can give. Dear God, I thank you for this food. Help me today and be with sister so-and-so as she goes into surgery. This we pray in your son's name. Amen. You know, just somewhat sincere prayers. We're thankful for the food, but we've said it so many times. We prayed that prayer so many times that it just rolls out of our mouth with little to no thought. It's kind of like the way we give to the church. You know, we give our normal amount, and we do it. Now we got this auto draft system, you know, which is good, but it's thoughtless. You're not putting any worship in your giving. Like, Lord, I give you all that I have. And when we pray, it seems so weak. Little to no emotion. You say, well, Jeff, it's not about emotions. Well, it's about fervency. If you saw a kid drowning, you say, well, it's not about emotion. Well, yeah, you need to go out there and save that kid. But it's the emotions that drive you to go save that kid. It's fear. And that's an emotion. Or it's love that drives you to pray to God, more love to thee. But we lack it. And I don't know of a greater barometer measurement of where you're at as a Christian, where I'm at as a Christian, than our prayer life. We boast in being great Christians, but secretly we pray so little. We know all these things. We've read every Puritan book there is, and thus we're great Christians, but we haven't prayed deeply in months. We don't know the power of prayer. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5, we know that he hears us. Or do we know that? He hears us. Well, who? Not your employer. Not some rich benefactor. God hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. That would change everything if we actually knew that. If we actually knew God hears me when I pray and God is going to give me what I'm praying for, we would actually pray if we actually believe. And if you're not a Christian, you know, the first thing you need to pray, you don't need to pray all these great prayers if you're living in rebellion against Christ. The first prayer you need to pray is, I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Confess your sins. Cast yourself upon Christ's death His resurrection as your only hope. For he is a savior to all who call upon his name. Some of the first prayers we need to pray if we're a Christian is we need to confess our sins because he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness. To clean our slate of all unrepentant sins. To clear our conscience and then get on to praying for more things. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth. The Lord is near. You want to spend time with the Lord? You want to be in the presence of Christ? You want to dwell with the Almighty? Call upon his name. Seek him. God will hear you. And in our text, verse 18, if you're there, we see six things to help us how to pray better. Six things to improve our prayer life. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints. Here are six things that will improve our prayer life. First of all, we need to pray relentlessly. Praying at all times, it says. Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Romans 12:2, continuing instant in prayer. Luke 18, verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Over and over, we're given this charge, this command to pray, not one time. To pray relentlessly, without ceasing, to continue to pray. Pray, pray, and pray some more. Pray throughout the day. Pray in the morning and noon, at night, and every moment in between. Live a life of prayer. Constantly be in prayer. So, well, I prayed yesterday. I prayed this morning. Well, good for you. You got up and you said a 30-second prayer. And you've watched 2 hours of television. And you wonder why you're so lukewarm. We sing Sweet Hour of Prayer, but we haven't had an hour of prayer in a long time. This exhortation assumes we are praying. It's like, continue, keep it up. It's assuming that, hey, you've already started. You are praying. And it is true. I know you're praying. I'm praying. We're all praying because you can't be a Christian if you're not praying. Martin Luther says to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. We all pray. We're praying all the time. There's a sense that we pray for every meal. We're thanking God for this and that. We pray before we go to bed, I assume. Matthew Henry says, you may soon find a living man who does not breathe as a living Christian who does not pray. But are we, though we praying, and though we've started praying, are we praying steadfastly? Are we praying without ceasing? This exhortation is implying not only that we are praying, but we need to be reminded to pray. I preached a sermon like this a couple years ago in Colossians. I went through Colossians. I'm like, well, we need another reminder. This is another time to be prompted back to a more deeper prayer life. We need this. I need it. Prayer is natural for a Christian, but it's hard for a Christian. I don't think any of us would say, hey, I'm content with my prayer life. I don't think any of us would raise our hand. Are you content with the level and degree and the fervency and the amount and the consistency that you're praying? Raise your hand if you are. Because it's hard. It's easier to read the Bible than to pray. Because prayer is is like work. I mean, good prayer is. It's like work. You can't go, well, I'm praying, it's just easy. No, it's work. It's like a labor. When people are praying for you, they're working on your behalf. They're sacrificially giving their time and their mental energy. The problem with praying well is being focused. And we're so distracted. Our minds can't, especially with our phones buzzing and the television on and people chippering and trying to get our attention. We don't take time. We don't find a secluded spot anymore. We don't throw the phone out of the room and say, hey, this is for me. This time is my time. I am not going to be interrupted for this time. We don't do that. Because the hard thing about prayer is being lasered focused on what we're praying about. Imagine going into the King of Kings and you're distracted. Imagine the King of Kings says, you can have entrance into my court. You can petition me and I will hear you and I will give you what you need, especially if it's what you do need. I will not hold back one good thing from you. Just come and ask. And he tells us, if we go in there and we just like, well, I had something on my mind. Well, I just can't think of it about it. If I think about it, I'll come back. How insulting must that be to God? When I do it. I don't want to be a hypocrite, preach to you and not feel convicted myself. I know what it's like to pray, and then next thing I know, I'm daydreaming. Not about heavenly things, daydreaming about everything under the sun. I'm like, I thought I was praying, and my head's still down, my eyes are still closed, but I've been daydreaming. I don't know how long I've been daydreaming. You think that counts for effectual fervent prayer? You think that's what's considered as a fervent prayer of a righteous man that will avail much? You think that's those daydreams? I know God is merciful. Thank the Lord, he's merciful and he's kind and he's good and he keeps on saying, keep on coming. Wake up. But prayer is hard because you have to stay focused. Another reason it's hard is sometimes we don't know what we want. Or we want too little from God. We have no needs. No real desperate request. We resolved ourselves that our kids may or may not be among the elect, so why even pray for them? Well, we have prayed, and we're content with little prayer. You know, some things only come out with prayer and fasting, and we're like, well, if it didn't come out with just a couple prayers, then it's not God's will. So it's just hard. And this is a charge to pray at all times. Praying at all times. One, that means pray in every season of life, every situation. Spurgeon says we should pray when we're in the praying mood. Like when you want to pray, that's a good time to pray. And he also says we're to pray when we're not in a mood to pray. For that's a bad mood to be in. And thus pray to be out of that mood. We're to pray in every situation for everything. Paul tells us in Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in all things and everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If you can't pray about what you're doing or what you're wanting to do, if you can't pray about it, then don't do it. In every situation, in all circumstances, and for everything, we're to take it to the Lord in prayer. This means to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. What does it mean to pray constantly throughout the day? Well, we need those hours of prayer. We need those deep, committed times of prayer where we're laying ourselves out before God and we lose all pride and dignity. When we become desperate before God and we put sackcloth and ashes on, we need those moments, but we also need to walk constantly in the presence of the living God. Praying without ceasing is that. It's walking with God. It's the essence of godliness, being God conscious, where you live as if God is right next to you in your heart. And so you're talking to him throughout the day. Imagine, you know, having a buddy and you're hiking through the woods and you're just carrying on this conversation as you're hiking and as you're walking. You're just talking and you're talking about all kinds of things, but you're in communion and fellowship. Well, that needs to be your heart with Jesus Christ. Are you living in constant, uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord Jesus? That's what it means to pray without ceasing. You don't always have to bow your head and close your eyes. You could be driving, or you could be doing whatever your job calls you to do. You could be just talking to the Lord, fellowshipping with him. In fact, that's why it's a barometer of your Christian life. If you're not talking to God, you're not walking with God. Something's wrong with your life. The older you are as a Christian, the more prayer you should have as a Christian. Shame on us that when we were converted, we had 1 year of zealous commitment to God, and we were praying like this, and then it's over the years, it's slowly decreasing. It should be the opposite of physical health. I've been playing a little bit of basketball that I'm not used to playing here lately. And it's amazing the muscles are sore. It's like, where in the world? I mean, if you run, I've been running, but running, you use certain muscles. But when you start jumping around and moving quickly, it's like a whole different level of muscles that are engaging. And when I was a kid, as I'm watching my kids, I could play all day. But as you get older, the outward man is perishing. You can't keep up. You know, it's just tiring to watch them play that long. But shame on myself and shame on you if we're saying that about our spiritual walk with God. We may be an old man, but our closeness to Christ should be as sweet as it ever has ever been. I was talking to my dad. He'd come up and visit my family and I a couple days ago, and he says, "Son, I've been dealing with a lot of health issues," and he was going through one ache and pain after the other. And he says, "But the Lord has taught me a great deal through it." He says, "He doesn't afflict willingly. And before I was afflicted, I went astray. And every affliction is needed. Every trial is needed. Every affliction I've been going through is needed. And the Lord has drawn me closer to him. And I've never been as close to God in my life as now." That should be something we all could say. And you can't do it without prayer. You're not doing it without prayer. It's constant, continuous fellowship. It means being steadfast. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer. To labor with perseverance, a relentless struggle. We're to fight and labor in prayer. James 5:16 says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." You see, not all prayer is as effectual. Sometimes fasting must be added to our prayer life. E.M. Bounds, in his classic book on prayer, says, "Our praying needs to be pressed and pursued with an energy that never tires, a persistency which will not be denied, and a courage that never fails." We must pray and pray until we get an answer to our prayer. There must be a determination. I must have this God. Now, again, if you can say, I can't pray that prayer because I don't believe it is God's will. Sometimes we ask and we don't receive because we're asking it to spend it on our own passions and desires. And God says, you don't need that, and you're praying wrongly for the wrong things. But if you know what you're praying for is in the revealed will of God, if you know that this is what God says for you to pray for, and let me put it this way, I know to pray for my children, for their salvation. You know that, right? Right? You have people you love. People that are breaking your heart. People that you care about deeply. Don't hear the word no. No. You must hear me on this, God. I know it's in your revealed will to pray for this. We're going to pray in 2 weeks on the 19th for our lost children, lost family members. We're going to spend the whole hour doing that as a church, fasting on Saturday and praying on Sunday. Come, pray until you're ready to pray. Start praying now that you're ready to pray on the 19th. We're going to do our best to march around the walls of Jericho and blast the trumpets to heaven and say, God, we got unconverted children in our midst that hate you, that are headed to hell. Lord, you love to save. We're not asking you to do something that you hate. We're not asking you to do something you don't want to do. You're a God of mercy and forgiveness. This is your nature, and you also love to answer prayer. And we're praying, answer us, dear God. Wouldn't that delight your soul? I mean, Lord, I'm not asking for more wealth. I got more wealth than I need. I don't need, if I had another car, it'd just break down on me. It'd just be another grief and another worry and vexation. I don't need this world. But Lord, I cannot not have my children saved. I cannot not live without you. That's I gotta have. Pray relentlessly. Second thing to help our prayer life is to pray all types of prayers. You can read the prayers in the New Testament. They're amazing, the diversity of them. It says praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplications. You know, it's differentiation between this prayer and prayers of praise, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of supplication and request. Sometimes you should just praise to thank God. Look at the Lord's Prayer. Half of it is not give me this and give me that, and forgive me of my sins. Half of it is, Lord, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Let your cause be extended in the earth. Let your purposes and your mission be accomplished. Let your name be hallowed among us. Let you be worshipped in our hearts and be made big in our thinking. Help us bow down to you, dear God. Just prayers of worship, prayers of praise, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of even supplications. Recognizing that there are various types of prayer. You see, prayer in all of its forms is an act of worship. You want to worship God? You can sing. Wonderful. Want to worship God? Pray. is an act of worship. Prayer is a recognition that God is God, that God hears us. The pagans don't pray. I mean, they may pray to their idols, but that's because they're idolaters. It's worship. But most secular people in our world don't pray at all. They don't pray at all. They're prayerless because they don't worship God. Prayer is recognizing that God is indeed God, and we must look to Him to receive anything and all that we have. Our very breath comes from His hand. We're sustained by Him. It's not our bank account or our pantry. It's not our bunker full of supplies. It's not the ice chest and the freezers. It's the living God. We pray for our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. It doesn't matter if we have a week's worth of bread in the pantry. We need today's bread, and if without the grace of God, we're not going to have it. You see, our prayers and supplications should flow out. If we look at the model prayer of the Lord's Prayer, it should flow out of praise and thanksgiving. The Lord shows us how to pray, like putting God's glory at the heart of our prayer. We only come to forgive me of my sins and my trespasses and give us this day our daily bread. We come to that after we spit some time just giving God glory. May your name be great in the earth. And that's where all of our prayers need to be brought in alignment to God's glory. Whatever they are, our lost children, bring that into alignment to God's glory. Glory, God, let your name be great in my lost children's life. May your name be hallowed in this world. May your will be done, not just in China, not just in my life. May your will be done in the lives of my lost children. You see, we're to pray with all types of prayer. Thirdly, we're to pray in the Spirit. In fact, if you look at verse 18, you see this is the main exhortation. The ESV reads, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. The original wording is best translated in the NASB, and it says, with every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit. It's saying, in every way you pray, and all the types of prayers that you pray, and every time that you pray, let all your prayers be prayed in the Spirit. Don't ever pray one prayer outside of praying in the Spirit. Don't pray dry, dead, intellectual, spiritless prayers. Pray them all in the Spirit of God. Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. When's the last time you prayed in the Holy Spirit? Hopefully the last time you prayed. But what does this mean? What does it mean to pray in the Spirit, and how do you do it? Well, it means this, that prayer is supernatural. Prayer is not just a natural endeavor. That is, when you pray to the living God. You pray to an idol, all it is you making up words, and it's as normal or as natural or... as tying your shoe. But when you enter into prayer, real prayer, you're doing something you can't do on your own. You're not strong enough. You're not capable to pray. It's a supernatural endeavor. There's supernatural strength and power and enablement and help and assistance that you need to pray if you're going to pray. That it not only is an act of worship, but it's actually supernatural. You're entering in something the natural man can't do. You're entering into something that unbelievers cannot do. Truly, you have to have the Spirit to pray. It's not just us in the flesh praying to a supernatural God. He said, well, it's supernatural because God is supernatural, and we're looking to a supernatural God to help us. No, that's not all that it is. The very act of you praying has to have supernatural strength and power. The Spirit must come down to meet us where we are and empower us to pray before our prayers can come into the presence of God. We see this in Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. I mean, the problem with us prayer is that we're just so unaware of the needs around us and how to pray as we should pray. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We have two problems in our prayer life. One, we don't know how to pray or what to pray, and two, we don't have the right heart to pray. So we need the Spirit to enable us and help us and to guide us in the wording of our prayers, but also in the emotions of our prayers. We don't know how to pray as we ought. We pray for the wrong things so often. We need to be quickened by the Holy Spirit, to our hearts to be aligned right, to pray right. I don't know if that makes sense. But without the Spirit's working and quickening and moving you and drawing you and engaging you in your life, and without the Spirit coming to you, you're going to be praying carnal prayers. Because that's where your heart's attached to. You know, you're more worried about the conflict in your job than you are to worrying about glorifying God in your conflict in your job. You just want to be relieved of all your pains and sorrows and sufferings rather than glorifying God in all your pains, sorrows, and sufferings. So you have to have the Spirit to go, wait a minute, you're just thinking about this present time. You just want your finger to feel better. You just want all the cancer to go away. You just want to live longer in this world so you can love this world more. That's all you're worried about. No, you need this problem to be realigned in your thinking where you really truly want God's glory and your holiness. And the Spirit's the only one that can help you pray such a prayer. But not just the Spirit helping you know how to pray or what to pray, you need your emotions aided by the Holy Spirit. You say, well, where's that? It says, the Spirit, for we do not know to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I mean, here's the Holy Spirit will enable us to groan. And that humbles us, right? That puts us at a really low level of groaning and moaning before the living God. I have way too much dignity to groan before God. I have way much prestige and honor to stoop so low. But no, the Holy Spirit himself will groan. And he's God. He will take your feeble groanings and align them to even deeper, more effectual groanings. So deep, all the groanings that you can't put it in words. This is what it means to pray in the Holy Spirit. Well, how do we do it? I mean, and this is the amazing thing about it. How do you do something you know you can't do? I mean, this is the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Okay, I want to. Now, Holy Spirit, well, the Spirit has to do it. Well, how do you do it? You recognize that it's supernatural and you need supernatural help. That's going to be grace and not works that'll help you pray. But one thing we can do what Jesus told us to do. You being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give you the Spirit if you ask? You have not the Spirit because you ask not for the Spirit. You see, the Spirit is more ready and willing to pray and groan and intercede on your behalf than you are to go into intercession yourself. The Holy Spirit is not... You don't have to talk him into it. He's not distracted. He's not off on a vacation and tired and saying, "It's you again?" No, the Holy Spirit is eagerly waiting, and it's just us that will not pray in the Holy Spirit. We're not praying as we should. We need to realize the Spirit operates by, in, and through the truth. Pray the Word of God. Pray the will of God. Align our prayers with the Word of God. So this is the third thing that will help us pray, is pray in the Holy Spirit. The fourth thing we see in verse 18 is we're to pray with alertness. Be attentive. It says, to that end, keep alert. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it. You know, keep awake, keep alert, keep guard, watch. It means to be awake. It's contrasted with sleeping. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, let us not sleep, but let us watch. Remember in the garden when Jesus is praying, he knows his hour is coming. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. To pray is to be on your guard. And that's part of praying consistently and without ceasing, walking with God, and just being constantly on guard and watching. We are called to watch for many things. We're called to keep guard and watch out for the devil. He's roaming around, seeking someone to devour. We need to be careful and watching and looking for him. We need to watch over our souls. Matthew 26, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Luke 21, watch yourself lest your hearts be weighed down with desperation and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And the day come upon you suddenly like a trap. So we got to be watching. It's a kind of a cycle. Because we're not praying and not watching, we fall into temptation. And because we fall into temptation, we fall into more of the cares of this world and the love of this world. And that leads us to not pray even less. And down the circle, it takes us. But Charles Spurgeon says, prayer will make you leave off sinning, or sinning will make you leave off praying. You cannot live constantly in a life of prayer and live a life of sin. You see, praying is one of the great pieces of armor to help us fight. We're to be careful and watch for the coming of Christ. It says, watch for you do not know when. Revelation 3 tells us to be watchful. Revelation 16, blessed is he that watches. You see, the evidence that we are watching is steadfast prayer. The lack of prayer is a sign that we are dozing off. Lack of prayer is a sign of lukewarmness. How do we to watch prayer? How are we to pray watchfully? Well, be attentive. John Davenant says, those dead and sleepy prayers which are uttered with a mind of either wondering or benumbing neither reach heaven nor can move God to hear. For our prayer stands instead of a messenger between us and God. But if a messenger shall either lodder or sleep the way, he will neither reach the end of his journey nor affect the business entrusted to him. So don't doze off in your prayers. Don't get distracted in your prayers. Keep guard. Keep watch. Have a clear, attentive mind when you pray. We struggle here, do we not? We struggle with real prayers. We're so distracted. When's the last time you said no to someone because you were in prayer? What happens? Someone calls you and you say no to God because of the call. One time, Charles Spurgeon, it was time for him to preach. And they knocked on his office and said, it's time for you to preach. The singing's over. We're waiting on you. He goes, well, I'm still doing business with God. I'm still in a meeting with God. Now, I'm not necessarily advocating that, but here's a man that understood that all of life can wait on God rather than putting God in where it's convenient. Well, I pray when I go to work, you know, when I drive to work. Well, you're fitting him in. You're just fitting him in. Wake up a little earlier and said, this is designated time for my living God. This is his time. I'm going to take time to pray. It's his. And no one's interfering with that time. So pray with alertness. Fifth, and this is going back to kind of what we've already talked about, pray with perseverance. It says to keep that in, keep alert with all perseverance. You see, it's easy to lose heart and leave off praying. I mean, you prayed for your lost aunt for 3 years in a row, and she's still lost, but you haven't prayed for her in over a year. And there for a while, you had momentum, and you were praying, and it was always on your mind, it was always on your heart. But over time, it's just, God, you haven't got an answer yet, but you just kind of quit praying. It's easy to leave off praying. But Jesus told us, which of you who has a friend will go into him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me some loaves, 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. That is, listen, I'm settled in for the night. Bug off. He says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he's a friend, yet because of his imprudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. That is, I know you're my friend, but I'm in bed. But your aggravating friend just keeps on going, I'm not leaving you until I get some bread. This is desperate. I know you got some in there. Hey, get up, get out of bed. Hey. And Jesus says, not because he's friend, but it's just because he's aggravating. He's persistent. He's relentless. He perseveres. He's not going to go away. It's like, I guess he's not going to go away until I give him some bread. Then the Lord says, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Sometimes God doesn't hear us. Well, he hears us, but he doesn't answer us the first request. I don't know how many times my parents prayed for my brothers and myself growing up. Thousands of prayers. Every one of them was answered. But many of them were delayed. It's not that God didn't answer the first one. He just didn't answer at the timing that we thought he should. He delays. He delays on purpose. Why does he delay? Why does he not, we pray and it's like a genie, and I want this, then it, boom, it happens. Why does he delay? Well, one, for two reasons, I think. One, to see if you really want it. To see if you're really determined and fervent about it. Is this really what you want? You know, my mother had this aggravating policy. You couldn't get something because you asked for it once. It's just not going to happen. Hey, can I get this? My mom would always say, we'll see. It was so aggravating to hear, we'll see. We'll see about if you still want this, you know, in a month from now. It's like, you mean I got to wait a month? Yeah, if you still want it for a month, we'll talk about it. Not that we will get it. We'll talk about it then. Because she knew that little kids like myself, when I was a kid, I would want this, and the next day I would want that, and the next day it was on to something else, and I'd totally forget about it. And she knew that she's not going to spend $50 or $20 on something that I would lose interest on in 5 minutes. She was wise. And God knows what we really want. And if we're just throwing up a quick little, Lord, give me this. He's like, wait, we'll see. We'll see. Do you really want it? Then keep knocking. Keep asking. Don't give up on this. You know, and that's why we just don't pray like we should, because we don't really want anything really bad. Two, to see if we have faith. He gives another parable, the Lord does, and he says, I told you them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. Okay, if that's the unrighteous judge, think about God who is righteous. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he not delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You see, this is the faith he's looking for. One who has to have it and know God will give it to him or her. You see, these divine delays where God doesn't answer our prayers are testing our faith. Do we really believe God? You see, this is why we must pray with perseverance. Never give up. Never give up. Six, and kind of towards the end of my sermon here. It says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints. We're to pray for the saints. You see, it's easy to pray for self rather than God's glory, so we might consume these things on our own lust. And it's easier to pray for ourselves. I would venture to say probably 80% of our prayers are related to ourselves and our own concerns. You know, the things that we want for ourselves, what we need. How often are we worried about the needs of others, the saints? How often are we praying for the saints? But we're to make supplication for all the saints. You know, this is how we serve one another. I was with a group of saints yesterday, and one of the Christians said to the other Christian, oh, I didn't know that you had this request. I'm going to go home and write it down and begin to pray for you on this. If you have one person praying for you, one person, only one, you're very blessed. Because I would say in my own, I don't know, 90% of the world has no one praying for them. No one's praying for them. No one's lifted up a single word for them. No one cares about them, their spiritual life, their soul. To have a mother, a father, a brother, or a church member pray for you. What sweet words. I'm praying for you. I'm going to be praying for you. All the elders are trying to pray for all the members of the church. We have this big running list. It's a lot of work to pray for all of you. But you need prayer. Pray for us. Pray for the saints. Get your directory out. Start naming these precious saints one by one. Say, Lord, I know I'm struggling with this. I'm assuming that people are struggling with this. Pray, just pray, Lord. Keep us from sin. Draw us together. I really, really, truly desire this. I'm praying for this. I don't know if you call it a revival. I really want a work of God to happen in this church. Not emotionalism and just we leave all hyped up and nothing's done. But where God really draws us to himself. Well, their souls are being saved. That saints are living holy lives. So let's pray for all the saints. Pray for each other. Ian Bond says, talking to men for God is a great thing, but talking to God for men is greater. You may not be able to know what to say or witness or know what to do here or there, but you can take these things to the God who does know. So here are six things as we bring this sermon to a close to help us pray. One, relentlessly with all types or manner of prayers, pray in the Holy Spirit with watchfulness, perseverance, and for all the saints. Let's pray. Dear God, we very much want to do the very thing you've commanded us to do, even now as we pray, bring this sermon to a close. We want to pray for the saints here, the visitors here, and the Christians and the unconverted. We pray all those who are in this building and those in the seminary that are listening, and even pray for those who may be listening to this sermon in a few days from now. Lord, we pray that you would use it to increase our prayer life. Lord, we don't want to hear this sermon and or preach this sermon and tomorrow we go back to our old habits of lukewarmness. We want to make resolution that we're going to let, Lord, that you would give us the grace and the strength to increase our prayer life and start today and walk with you and talk with you and commune with you. I pray that, Lord, that this would be a praying church, a church that prays fervently and sincerely and truth and the Spirit. I pray that you would hear our prayers and give us the things that we need. For your glory's sake, we ask. Amen.